Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello everybody and welcome to the latest Liverpool Blood Red Podcast with me, Ian Doyle. Joining me today are two, well, you will know who these people are, but they are new for this podcast, and that's Lewis Steele from the Daily Mail. Hello, Lewis.
Hello, Doyle.
And also we have Greg Evans from The Athletic.
Mr. Doyle, I've been informed I can't call you Ian, so...
Yes.
Doyle,
yeah,
you,
that's it. Yeah, nobody calls me Ian. Even my dad calls me Jamie, my brother. now, Greg, you're not James Pearce. What's going on?
James only comes for the big games.
Yeah. You've got the B team just... on the pitch and off the pitch.
But I will start with you, Greg. I mean, you are kind of new, fair to say, to covering Liverpool, certainly this season. What have you made of how things have changed for the Reds this season anyway?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it actually. It's a little bit new for me. I've covered Aston Villa for the last 11 years. So, yeah, I mean, the first thing I noticed really covering Liverpool is they win more games. So it's really enjoyable to sort of go to a game with a match plan or a match idea and write about it really. You know, I've really enjoyed covering Liverpool. I think it's an exciting team. I know Jurgen Klopp has used the phrase sort of Liverpool reloaded. Does feel a little bit like that. There's a real freshness to it this season. But yeah, I think they've got a good chance. I think this is definitely going to be the last season I'm covering Europa League. So I think they'll be back in the Champions League next year.
That's a big shout. I mean, how many league games have they played, Lewis? 11, is it?
Yeah, about 11 or 12, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you were with me in Singapore, so you got to see it from the start, this Liverpool 2.0, as Klopp says, Liverpool reloaded, or... Every time I think of Liverpool Reloaded, I think of Matrix Reloaded. No, an absolutely terrible film that was. Certainly a comparison to the original one. Anyway, Liverpool. So what have you made of it?
Yeah, well, Liverpool Reloaded is probably a better sequel than Matrix Reloaded. There's still a few cracks to iron out.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely started to get better. I think the first sort of month and a half of the season, I thought they were a bit Jekyll and Hyde. They were, you know, chucking away quite... some easy goals, really. They went behind quite a lot of times, didn't they? But they seem to have got over that now. And it's whether they can sustain it. The squad looks good, as in the players that come in, whether they're the fringe players. So I think they've got the squad to sustain it. It's just whether they can keep up with City and Arsenal and Spurs, people are saying, in the league. But they should be enough to compete on three or four fronts, really.
I mean, Greg, as a neutral, in comparison to say all the people who've been on this podcast, should we say, what have you made of the job Klopp's done? Looking at it from afar, overall, he's just, you know, recently it was 8 years since he was appointed, and obviously he's taken Liverpool the champions of Europe, won them the Premier League, the first Premier League, the first title in 30 years, and you know, the first time they've been club world champions. Looking at it from a distance, what have you made kind of what he's done? And certainly when they've been having to challenge Manchester City, and we know all the story behind how they've got to where they are.
Just an amazing achievement, you know, as a neutral watching on to see what he's done. You know, there aren't many managers. We were talking last night, weren't we, about sort of trying to become an elite manager, and it's just so difficult. Only literally a handful of you know, people out there manage to do that. And you know, Jurgen Klopp, you can certainly say he's one of those. Liverpool have won everything except for this Europa League under him, and you know, back them to go really far in this competition as well. So yeah, they've been a joy to watch. They've been really exciting. You know, good to see a little bit of a mix of academy players in like Trent Alexander-Arnold and Curtis Jones coming through and having an impact, but also players that maybe came to the Premier League like Salah before and didn't quite do it, but has, you know, shown what an unbelievable player he is. So yeah, I mean, they've been a joy to watch.
I mean, you mentioned the academy players there. It obviously is a lot harder when you're at a club such as Liverpool and City, and to, you know, let's be honest, Man United, teams like that, for the academy players to come through, isn't it? You have to be of a certain standard. And certainly for Liverpool, there have been players in the past who come in, played a game, played two games, and you never saw them again. But I think the way that they're trying to do things at the moment, you've seen, I know they signed Harvey Elliott and for the first team, but Trent's a big example, Curtis Jones is one. You look at Gerald Quanta this season, and you know, even like, I know Ben Doak was signed, he wasn't signed straight away for the first team. He didn't waste any time, and he could be playing tonight, for example, here in Toulouse. So what does that say about the job that the academy are doing? And also just generally looking at the academies in general, because obviously you've covered other clubs. Yeah. And is it easier to get an opportunity when you're at those kind of clubs? Or is it then, because of that, is it then subsequently hard to then make the next step up, if you see what I mean?
It's really difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, you speak to people around the industry, players themselves, people connected to the players, and they're always saying, well, if you're at a elite club like Manchester City or Liverpool or Man United previously, then you're getting the elite level training, you're playing with the top players, you've got all the facilities around you. So sometimes that does help, but often it makes it a little bit difficult to break into the team because you're up against much tougher players. So I think players, they need to balance to decide how long they stay training and around the first team, and then getting that loan move quite early. I think with Gerald Quanta, for example, you know, he was in League Two last year, yeah, and speaking to people who played and worked with him in during that period suggested that he probably needed another loan. But if you look at what he's done this year and how he's kicked on playing and training alongside elite players every single day, you can see that he's kicked on a level and perhaps doesn't need that loan anymore now. And he looks pretty much ready to you know, to maybe become Liverpool's.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Lewis, you need to be careful and don't repeat anything you're going to see, you might say later on.
You know, Liverpool's third or fourth choice defender for years to come, and perhaps even better. And, you know, it might save Liverpool some money.
I can't believe there was anything in your accent that gave away you were going to say something like that then.
That's talking about Villa for 12 years on a podcast. But yeah, no, I mean, look, you know, it's good to, I think clubs in general now are trying to become more self-sustainable. And you know, if they can bring academy players through, it's going to save the club some money in future investment. And they're feel-good stories, aren't they, when the young players come through? You know, you've seen them rise through the ranks. A lot of them have you know, gone through the Youth Cup and other stages in their development, always looking to try and get into that first team. So if they can ever do it, it's always a good story.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Whether it's the legendary Lionesses, grassroots or expert analysis of the women's leagues, Women's Football News has it all covered. A brand new monthly magazine packed with news, interviews and expert opinion. Don't miss Women's Football News. Pick up a copy today from participating retailers. Women's football is here to stay, and so are we.
Well, Quanta captained Liverpool in the Youth Cup final against Aston Villa, which they lost 2-1.
Can we stop mentioning Villa? Because I'm going to start calling naming them.
Using Quanta again, Lewis, as an example, it's interesting because there are players who come through the system and they've been developed to play for a certain team. Yeah. What I mean, I don't necessarily mean like Liverpool and the style they play, but to play at a certain level. And the level and the type of play at Premier League and Championship is a lot different to League Two. You could argue it's a lot more agricultural, it's a lot more physical, but you don't really need to be that to become a success at this top level, which is why, you know, as Greg was saying about perhaps he needed another loan, perhaps he did need another loan if he was going to be playing at League One or League Two again, but not necessarily to be playing in the Premier League. And I think sometimes people forget that. And the other question I was going to ask is, you mentioned about it being a feel-good story when youngsters come through. There are a lot of fans on social media who, this player costs zero transfer fee, therefore he cannot possibly be as good as this other player who possibly would cost 50 million, even though at some point in his career that other player costs £0.
Yeah. Well, you put Quanta into it, and he came in that game, at Wolves, wasn't it? And although Liverpool did struggle in that first half, I don't think Quanta's
he wasn't the one that was struggling, it was all the rest of them, wasn't it?
He was the good one, I think. I can't remember the exact quote, but I think Klopp said after that match something like, you know, Gerald was the only one that came out of that first half of any credit. And he's really stepped up every time he's played, I think. You know, I asked Klopp in the press conference last night in Toulouse, like whether he was surprised just how much he stepped up. Because I think for me coming outside, I mean, I obviously watched Liverpool last season, but not every week until I started doing this job. And I was sort of surprised at just how good some of the youngsters were. Quanta and Dope especially, but also some of the fringe players have impressed me quite a lot. You think like Curtis Jones, if you ask fans of most mid-table Prem clubs, they wouldn't rate him that much, but when you watch him every week, you think, I'm starting to think Jones is one of the most underrated parts, most underrated players in the league, and he's a key part to this team. And there's a lot of players like that who have come through the academy and they're really stepping up. But yeah, I think Doak is I think Van Dijk described him as a Tasmanian devil, didn't he?
It impressed him, wasn't it?
Yeah. And you can see why, because he just buzzes around the pitch. And then Quanta, on a different note, he's just so calm. And he almost looks like a mini Van Dijk, doesn't he, when he comes in. He's got a calming presence that bellies his lack of experience.
I mean, that's the thing about the Europa League. Liverpool obviously would not want to be in it, Greg. But by being in it, they're playing a lesser standard of opposition than in the Champions League. Although, of course, Manchester United are in the Champions League still for I'm not sure how long. But
at the time of recording.
Yeah. Actually, no, that was an unnecessary dig there. But it's given an opportunity for these youngsters to play. And I have to mention Bobby Clark, who I think is a great player. And I think if he hadn't been injured, I think he'd have been playing a couple of these games as well, and the League Cup as well. But Liverpool and Klopp, they've kind of, I wouldn't say embraced it. Well, actually, yeah, I would say they've embraced being in this competition, because a lot of the first teams, the regular first teams, are still playing. You wouldn't be surprised if there's like three or four of them played, well, they'd have to, because I think there's a few injuries, played later on today in Toulouse. But the long-term benefit could be quite strong for Liverpool, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's clear that Liverpool don't want to be in this competition, but they're doing their best to make the most of it. And if that means blooding a couple of youngsters, what I also think is working in their favour is the fact that it's allowing some of the fringe players the minutes that they need. And it's making it, you know, it's creating this. It's a new look Liverpool team. New players are getting to know each other a little bit. A brand new midfield, and all of them can't play. But because Liverpool have got so many games, they're bedding themselves in nicely, and they're all getting enough amount of minutes. And I think that's going to help with harmony and just bring the team together. And inevitably create a winning mentality if they keep winning. And look, it's fun for the fans as well. You know, we're here sitting in the centre of Toulouse, and there's quite a few Liverpool fans around. And I think they enjoy some of the different trips, don't they? Okay, some of them would have been here previously, but I think it's just a good experience to come and go to places.
I think they're using the loan market really well in the last 18 months. And that's in terms of a few of them are in the squad now, like Quanta, we mentioned, but Luke Chambers as well, the young left-back, was at Kilmarnock last season. I spoke to his former manager in Scotland, and he was saying he's trained like 500 kids and he's by far the best one that he's ever trained. And then as well, the young right-back, Conor Bradley, who's obviously at Bolton. I know he's been struggling.
Again, he's another one
who
could have been playing. Yeah. He's another one that could have been playing,
so really, he would have probably been playing tonight if he hadn't had that sort of injury that turned out to be worse than first feared. Because like his stats at Bolton last season, I think he got 5 goals and 5 assists or something similar to that. But like, they've had that loan now, and then Klopp's obviously said no to a few loan requests this season. Probably Bradley's one of them, Quanta. I'm sure Doak had quite a few people come in for him. Chambers, I know Kilmarnock wanted him back.
I think the Saudi Arabians were in for Salah as well.
Yeah. Just on loan.
On loan, yeah. They couldn't afford the fee straight over. So
they're using the loan market well, because they've gone out, they've got experience of playing in first teams. And like, you can't underestimate the experience you'll get, even if it is in League Two, just getting in that match day squad, playing in front of the crowd. Because even in like down in League Two, like I'm sure Bristol Rovers are getting up to 10,000 a week. You know? So, but now they're using it in a better way. They're saying, right, we're going to keep you here because it's better for you to learn. For Doak, it might be better for him to learn alongside Salah. But if the Europa League wasn't a thing, he wouldn't get the minutes he was. Maybe he would have gone out on loan if that was the case.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
The loans thing's interesting because I did a story in lockdown basically saying, remember lockdown? Anyway, we were speaking about that last night.
Sorry.
And where it was like any idea would do. But basically, it was basically saying that a lot of other teams, City, United in particular, when they let the youngsters go out on loan, they kind of come back and then they integrate them and then they end up becoming a success. And the obvious one for that is David Beckham, because he was at Preston Mosley for a while. But for Liverpool at that time, there was very, very few. And normally at Liverpool, if you were sent out on loan as a youngster, that was it. You were never going to get it, make it. It was almost a sign, you're never going to make it. But the year that Harvey Elliott had at Blackburn, for example, and you mentioned the other ones as well, it's changed a little bit. And part of that is due to the setup at Liverpool, the big on loans, the loan development, picking the right teams. But I also think it's also possibly Klopp's a bit more open-minded, or the fact that the players have now been at the academy for that long, everything's been ingrained in them, then they can go off and get some of the other skills they won't learn at the academy. Then they come back and that kind of molds them into a better player, basically.
Yeah, it's the stages of development, isn't it? You can hang around in the academy for so long, then you can learn, the Liverpool way, which is what they're, the guys in the academy are trying to do. But at some point, you do have to go and sort of spread your wings and become a man almost, which is, they turn from boys to men, don't they, when they go and have that first loan spell. I think what's impressive for the guys that go and have really good first loan spells, because that inevitably is the hardest one. It's the one where you perhaps have to move away from your sort of local home, your family home maybe, learn to cook and clean and things like that. I think...
Do you reckon you'll ever do that, Lewis?
I'll do a bit of cooking and you can do the washing up.
It's just that, you speak to staff and players around it and they say that when the players come back, they're, much wiser and, older and just ready for it, really. I think there was a good example with Chambers when he was at Kilmarnock on loan. Some of the older pros there helped him showed him how to cook and clean, effectively. And because he didn't know how to do anything.
So he's going to give them a call, Lewis.
and he's spoken about that now. So, the loans are a big part of things, but it's important, I think, for Liverpool too. If they can't integrate these players into the team in the future, to try and get some money back for them. So it's all part of the development.
I think they've got the most important thing for when they go out on loan is they've got to leave their ego in Liverpool. So going back to the Chambers example, his manager Derek McInnes was saying, so many players will come from a bigger club on loan and they'll think, I play for Liverpool, I play for Man City, I'm already going to be the next big thing. And they let that get the best of them. But these players that go on loan, they can't see it as a down step in their career. They just have to think, I'm here to win games. I'm not here just to get experience. And it's like, then you can do both parties a favour. It's not like they're going on loan to do Bristol Rovers a favour. It's the other way around, really.
What I would say on that is that at the academy, they're quite keen on making sure there are these egos out there in the first place. Obviously, you can't control every single individual and their personality, but they... they like players to be humble. That's the same with the first team. With Jurgen Klopp, we've seen it. The famous stories when he first came in, he got everybody who worked at the club to come and introduce themselves, say his name to them, and basically you can treat them as a family. I think they want that at the academy as well.
Yeah.
And the longer that it's worked, you're now seeing more and more players, as I said before, not just playing one game, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20. Curtis Jones is now to 100. More than 100, Lewis. You mentioned him as being a pivotal player now. Since they did the change to the box midfield, I think he started one Premier League game last season until the Chelsea game. Then the following game, he switched it. And I think I saw some stats that, in terms of points per game, at one point, very early, not that long ago, in terms of the Premier League this season, Curtis Jones was top. Like when he was on the pitch, the team won the most amount of points. That's including all the Man City players. I think it might have changed since then with a couple of iffy results. But then, Curtis hasn't. He got sent off against Tottenham. He didn't play against Brighton because he was suspended. Didn't play against Luton because he was still injured. So that record's not too bad. But Curtis Jones, just as a midfielder, as a player. You mentioned that you've been impressed with him surprised by him more than anybody else. Why?
Well, I think when you don't watch Liverpool every week, you might, and I think a lot of neutrals might have the opinion, like, what does he do? What position is he? But then you come in and you watch him every week and you realise he's so hard working, he's so selfless to his play, to his fellow players. He never really gives the ball away, he's good off the ball. And I think every good team, if you look back at every team that's won the Premier League, they've all had those players that they're never going to be in the headlines because they don't really score many goals, they don't really do that much really in terms of deciding matches, but it's just the nitty-gritty stuff that he does. And I think that he makes the players around him better as well. So I think, you know, McAllister has had an up and down season in that number six role, but when he's had Jones in the midfield with him, he's sort of looked at home because Jones will sort of tuck back in alongside him and help him out with the defensive side. But he's also getting up the pitch and, you know, he gets in the box as well. He seems to be all over the place. He's very fit.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
This is the thing about Curtis, that I've watched him since he was playing for the under-18s. And when he was playing in the UEFA Youth League, there was one year where he was quite clearly the best player in the entire competition. And he wasn't playing in central midfield. He was playing up front on the left. And he was scoring goals. I think he got a hat-trick against Napoli or something like that. So he's kind of transformed himself from that player to the kind of player that Klopp needs him to be. And when you add in on top of that, that he's a local lad, and you always get the unique pressure, certainly a club like Liverpool, where not many local lads get through and end up becoming a success. It is credit to him, but man, he's still only 22 as well.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, he's an inspiration for every young lad in Liverpool, isn't he? They all want to be like him because he's the real success story at the moment. I like his confidence, I like his swagger. He's almost a bit arrogant, isn't he? But I like that in footballers, and I think if you've got that, that gives you the edge. And you know, Steven Gerrard's coached him previously and spoke about that. I think, was that an interview with yourself that I read with Gerrard talking about Jones?
It could have been. I can't remember. Was it yesterday? No, I can't remember that.
I can't remember if you did it or someone else. But you know, he was saying, look, sometimes they had to almost calm him down a little bit because he was just so, you know, so up for it all the time. But I like that in footballers, and I think that arrogance and confidence, or whatever you want to call it, has helped him get to where he is, and I'm excited to see where he goes.
Yeah. Of course, there's like players like Nico Williams, Harry Wilson, Teo Awoniyi. Is that right? Have I announced that? They were all on Liverpool's books. I know Awoniyi didn't actually play for them, but they did try and bring him in, and he went on about 15 loans or something before they ended up having to sell him. So it just shows that, you know, these players don't necessarily end up having to play for Liverpool, but they're still getting great careers. They're all playing the Premier League, aren't they? Which is what nearly every footballer would want to do. Going to the more senior players there, what have you made of... We'll start with the summer signings, Szoboszlai.
Yeah, I like Szoboszlai. Up until the Luton game, he was the only ever present, wasn't he? Played every single minute. I love his ball-carrying abilities. I just think he looks so calm and composed on the ball. He breaks forward at speed. I'd like to see a little bit more of his shooting, because that's what we heard about, didn't we? You know, if he can come in and score these wonder goals. He obviously got the one in one of the games, which was, you know, a blockbuster. But I want to see a bit more of that from him. But I think he settled in really well. You know, he's spoken about maybe being a little bit lonely and sort of missing what he had previously. But I think that's inevitable for new players moving to a new country. Just going to need a bit of time to settle in. But the fact that he wants to play every minute, I like that as well. Been really impressed.
He scored against Villa.
Didn't want to mention that.
No, I have to do the player ratings after every game, and I don't think I've given him under a 7 yet, because he's just constantly hitting that above average performance level. I think he's probably been Liverpool's player of the season. I mean, Salah obviously is always putting up the numbers, but just in terms of how much he's come in, how quickly he's adapted to Klopp's style of play and the Premier League, you see a lot of midfielders come in and struggle for a few months, but he's tucked to it like a duck to water, and I think there's a few more levels to come from him there.
Just one final thing then, the one thing you kind of alluded to, there's some, what was it, things to iron out, so some cracks to cover. The obvious one is the defensive midfield position. Alexis McAllister, Alexis McAllister he's not really number six, is he?
No.
No, and it's a little bit unfair on him. I know that me and Lewis were in Singapore and saw him play against the likes of Bayern Munich and Leicester. Slightly different standards opponent there, but he was very good in those games. And he was very good throughout the summer. And then, of course, the season kicks off. He goes there against Chelsea and you think, oh, he's not going to be playing here again. And then, you know, 2 months later, he's still there. 3 months later, in fact, he's still there. Do you feel as though, with him now being out for the game against Brentford at the weekend, it's now a chance, well, it is a chance for Wataru Endo to come in, but also it's an opportunity to him to kind of prove to Klopp, because quite clearly he hasn't quite convinced him that he can be there and stay there for the bigger games, because after that they come back and they're playing Man City.
Yeah, I think it's the real test now, isn't it, for Liverpool the weeks ahead, I think. I don't think they've fully been tested yet, because we can't really talk about the Tottenham game too much because of how crazy it was and, you know, everything that went on. I'm really looking forward to seeing these games against Man City, Arsenal, Newcastle again, to see what this midfield, you know, to see what it throws up. I don't think McAllister is the answer long term. I think if Liverpool are going to get back in the Champions League and want to go really deep in that competition again and really challenge for the title, I do think they need a proper specialist defensive midfielder. Can they get through this season with maybe Endo and McAllister? Possibly Jones sometimes going in there if he needs to. I just don't think the skill set of the latter two fit right in there. I think they do need to look at that position for the future if they want to get back to where they were previously in 2019 level.
I mean, the problem they've got is that they've got Bacetic, who's somebody who they really like, and we've seen that he can do it at the top level. But he's been injured for the best part of 6 months now.
And he's a youngster.
So he wouldn't be playing all the games anyway. So I think my take is that they're a bit concerned. They don't want to go out and spend a load of money because on a number six, because apparently they're not interested in Andre Trindade at Fluminense, who they did inquire about, ended up buying Endo, and there had been a lot of talk that they were going to go back in for him. Seems as though that's not going to happen. But they know Thiago's going at the end of the season. They did buy four midfielders. So it's not as if they haven't got enough options in there, but it just seems to be that little thing, isn't it?
It's just, I mean, look, I love Liverpool's midfield. I think in possession, they're one of the best in the world now. In possession, they're brilliant to watch. They're so fluid. With Trent tucking in there as well, and obviously feeding, an attack of five players, depending on who plays, that are, you know, equally as brilliant. They're so exciting going forward. I just think the real talking point over the summer was Liverpool trying to get a defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
And Endo wasn't the guy that anybody would have said. So until these players have been tested against Man City, against Arsenal, Newcastle again, I think the question's still there.
Yeah, well, the thing with McAllister is, like, as you say, he is just a number eight, and it's harsh to single him out for criticism. But it'd be interesting to see how they would have looked if they did get Casido or Lavia over the line. Obviously, they were trying. But I think if you look at every team that's won the Prem, they've always had that solid number six, whether it's Rodri or Fabinho or Kante at Chelsea or whoever, however far back you want to go. And I just don't know.
Kante at Leicester as well.
I don't know if Liverpool can win the league with McAllister in the number six role. I think they can easily get top four, but it's just those games against City, and especially the away games where City are going to have a lot of the ball. You need someone who's got a bit more solidarity about them. So it is a big chance for Endo in the next sort of week or two to sort of prove to Klopp, you know what, you brought me in, you've been studying my stats and whatever, you know. Now it's his time to prove on the pitch, pass the eye test, prove that he's got what it takes to hold up that midfield.
Final question then. Well, it's three questions. Just yes or no. Will Liverpool win the Premier League?
No.
No.
Will they finish in the top four?
Yes.
Yes.
Will they win the Europa League?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Which will be amazing.
And on that bombshell, thank you. And join us again soon for the latest Liverpool Blood Red podcast.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.